is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Somewhere, a mother is sitting in a movie theater with her daughter. The lights are low. The screen is enormous. And Michael Jackson is moonwalking across it in a performance so perfect, it makes the audience forget. He's been dead for almost 2 decades. That's hard to believe in itself. The music hits. People are smiling. Some are crying. If Hero's back, someone is recording a clip for social media. Yeah, that's, you can't do this against the law. Captioning it with a heart emoji nonetheless in the words, "The King forever." And on the drive home, one of them is going to pull out her phone, scroll past the box office headlines, and land on a story about a family. A family that spent a quarter century defending Michael Jackson on television in a published memoir under oath, who just went public alleging that he essayed every single one of their children, starting when some of them were as young as 7 or 8. That's not a hypothetical. That's the experience millions of people are having at the same time, loving the music, feeling the magic, and then sitting with a question that has no clean answer. This is part one of a 5-part series, and I want to be honest about what we're doing here and what we're not. We are not condemning Michael Jackson. We are not defending Michael Jackson. What we're doing is something that almost nobody really wants to do with this story. We're laying out what's been proven, what's been debunked, what's been bought and paid for, and what will never be resolved. And then we're going to trust you to sit with it. I'm not going to tell you what to think. We're just going to go through the information, the situations, the scenarios, hopefully make you think a little bit. I don't have a specific direction that I want you to go. I'm not trying to convince you of anything here. I'm not trying to make you believe he's guilty or not. I'm not trying to sway you this way or that way. I just want to sit here with all of the information around us, put it into one big basket, if you will, and let it breathe. Because this is something that I think a lot of us do with this topic. Because if you grew up in the 80s, or the 70s, Michael Jackson was a part of your life. He was a cultural phenomenon unlike anything that exists today. There is no artist that is as big as Michael Jackson. There never has been, and there probably never will be again. In the way that an entire world focused and obsessed on one individual. That just, it, the dynamics don't exist for that to happen ever again. There's far too many options for everything that everyone's interested in, lanes of music. This was a very different time and place. And if you know it and you were there, you understand it. If you never lived through it, look, it might be hard to grasp. If you think any pop star today is big, if you think Taylor Swift is big, multiply it by 50. That's Michael Jackson. That's the level of fame that that man had at his peak. He was on everything. He was in everything. We heard his music everywhere. It was the soundtrack to many of our lives. And it still is to a certain extent. When you see or listen to a Michael Jackson song, it probably first takes you back somewhere in your life. Nothing to do with Michael Jackson. Just the fact that it was a trigger that brought you back to a different point in your life. Maybe good, maybe bad. And then forever stained with the allegations that have been levied against him over the course of his career and life and death. How do you reckon those two things? I guess that's the question. I don't know quite the answer to it. But we're going to go through his history. Stories, the accusations, and where things stand. And like I said, let you sit with it. Let you make your decisions and your opinions. And I don't know where to land. Let me start by setting the stage. And let me also say this too, as we do, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, as we work our way through this, love to hear them. The links are in the description, and please do press subscribe so you don't miss anything in this series or any of the stories and cases that we follow for you right here. Let me set the stage. The Michael Jackson biopic shattered every music box office record in history, clearing nearly $100 million on its opening weekend domestically. Audiences gave it a near-perfect score. Critics, they were less kind, calling it sanitized, a greatest hits reel that conspicuously avoided the most defining controversy of Jackson's life. And they weren't wrong. The film ends in the late 1980s with a bad tour. It covers the Jackson 5, the solo career, the concerts, the complicated relationship with his father. What it doesn't cover, what it was literally forced to cut from the script, are the allegations. And that's important. It's not that the original intent of the story was to make this super sanitized version. It wasn't. So why were these things cut out? Well, let's get into that. The original version of the film had the 1993 abuse allegations as its dramatic spine. The director shot an entire sequence recreating the infamous Neverland Ranch raid, Jackson being stripped, photographed, his body examined, and compared against a 13-year-old boy's description, and the production team discovered that the Chandler family settlement with Jackson, it contained a clause prohibiting any dramatized depiction of the events, so they couldn't use it. They rewrote the third act entirely, reshot it for weeks, reportedly spent tens of millions of additional dollars, and delivered a movie that treats the most famous person on Earth like he existed in a world where nobody ever accused him of anything. The Estate co-produced the film. The director said he wasn't convinced the allegations were true. The director of Leaving Neverland, the documentary that detailed two men's graphic allegations of childhood abuse, called the biopic a travesty. How interesting is that? There's essentially a second movie on the cutting room floor of this movie. I've been reading a lot of reports of, well, they might be able to bring it to light if there's some sort of agreement that's made at some point. I don't know, you make part two to this? Like, here's the one everybody feels good about. Now part two. I mean, which is kind of how his life went. Everyone saw a different movie. Everyone sees a different Michael Jackson. And it's not because people are stupid or uninformed. It's because the full truth has never been available to anyone. And the people who control the narrative have every financial incentive to keep it that way. Think about what that means for a moment. An estate that generates hundreds of millions of dollars a year from Jackson's music, likeness, and brand co-produced a film about his life and chose to end the story before the single most defining controversy of his career began. Not because they think the allegations don't matter. They clearly think they matter and have to spend tens of millions reshaping a movie to avoid them, but because acknowledging the allegations threatens the revenue stream as well. There can be two parallel truths here at the same time. Yes, there is that clause in that agreement. And there's the revenue stream. Do you really want to make a movie as part of the actual estate that is continuing to profit from Michael Jackson? And paint him in a very negative, albeit accurate light. And when I say accurate, I don't necessarily mean guilt, but the stories, the actual drama that ensued publicly, part of the actual timeline of reality, not being in there. That's accurate reporting. That's not saying that there's accuracy to the claims, but accurately reporting means talking about the claims. But this is not a report. This is a movie. So there's a different set of rules here. The accusers, on the other hand, are pursuing lawsuits worth hundreds of millions. They have a financial stake in the version of Jackson that they're presenting. Everyone in the story is telling you their truth. Nobody in the story is telling you the whole truth. And the people consuming the content, buying tickets, streaming the music, clicking the headlines, are left to assemble a picture themselves from pieces that were never really designed to fit together. Let's walk through the landscape. Not the details. Those are coming in our next four episodes, but the scope of what we're dealing with, because the scope alone should make you uncomfortable, regardless of which side you lean toward. And if you don't know all of the stories of this, of Michael Jackson, if you didn't live through the era, you've just heard stories here and there, and you didn't sit down and read the entire Wikipedia entry, well, guess what? We're going to present it to you in a very non-Wikipedia way. The whole story, like I said, and help you decide, be informed. I don't know there's really a decision to be made here. It's more just take the information in for what it is. Since 1993, accusations against Michael Jackson have come from multiple sources. A 13-year-old boy whose father was recorded on tape threatening to destroy Jackson before any police report was even filed. The case was settled for approximately $23 million, and the boy never testified in any proceeding again. The son of former Neverland maid, who initially denied any abuse, then changed his story and said Jackson touched him during what he described as tickling sessions. That family reportedly settled for around $2 million. A teenage cancer survivor whose family's credibility was demolished during a 14-week criminal trial. Jackson was acquitted on every single count. Two men who defended Jackson under oath, one as a child, one as an adult, who helped acquit him at that trial, then reversed their positions years after Jackson's death and filed lawsuits seeking hundreds of millions of dollars for themselves. And most recently, a family of siblings who appeared on Oprah defending Jackson, published a memoir praising him, accepted what's been reported as roughly $16 million in settlement payments from his estate, and then filed a federal lawsuit alleging he was, in their words, a serial child. Yeah. Every single one of those cases has elements that point towards guilt. And every single one has elements that undermine the accuser's credibility. Not a single case is clean. Not one. Here's what should bother you regardless of where you stand. The people who defended Jackson the loudest under oath on camera in print are, one by one, reversing their positions. But they're doing it after he's buried, after he can't respond, after he can't hire a lawyer, hold a press conference, or look a jury in the eye. And in the context of lawsuits seeking staggering sums from an estate that generates hundreds of millions of dollars a year, if they were groomed into silence and only found their voices after the abuser was gone, that's consistent with how abuse survivors behave. Trauma experts will tell you that. The delayed disclosure, the initial defense of the abuser, the breakdown that precedes the reckoning, it follows a recognized pattern. But if they're targeting a fortune that belongs to a dead man who can't defend himself, that's consistent with how opportunists behave as well. Defense attorneys will tell you that. And the deeply uncomfortable truth is, from the outside, those two things can look identical. That's the tension at the center of this series. Not, did he do it? Because nobody alive can definitively answer that other than the people who've made the accusations. The tension is, can you hold both possibilities in your mind at the same time without collapsing into certainty either way? Can you acknowledge that the grooming model is real and that the financial motivation is also real? Can you look at the pattern of accusations and the pattern of settlements and the pattern of reversals and resist the urge to pick the version that makes you feel better? Think about how you'd react if this were anyone other than Michael Jackson. If a school teacher had been accused by this many former students over this many years with this many statements or settlements paid, the conversation would be different. But Jackson's talent, his cultural significance, his music woven into the fabric of millions of people's lives and brains and souls, that changes the calculus in ways we do not like to admit. The art creates a shield that no ordinary person would have. And the question of whether that shield is protecting an innocent legacy or concealing a monstrous one is a question nobody can comfortably answer. Because the version that makes you feel better isn't the truth. It's discomfort. The biopics on production tells this story better than any analyst could. A movie designed to celebrate Michael Jackson's legacy had the literary ease... had to literally erase the most significant controversy of his life, because the legal settlement that was supposed to make it go away actually prevented anyone from ever depicting it. The estate couldn't tell the version of the story they wanted to tell. The accusers can't tell their version without being called liars and gold diggers. The public gets a 3-hour concert film and a set of headlines that contradict each other and is expected to pick a lane. This series isn't asking you to pick a lane. Over the next 4 hours, we're going to go case by case. The Chandler allegations and the extortion tapes, the criminal trial that ended in acquittal, and what the jury actually said about it afterwards. The Robson and Safechuck reversals and the psychology that either explains or condemns them. And the Casillo family, the most recent accusers, the ones who just went public, the ones whose story is unfolding as we speak. Each episode will lay out what's verified and what's been disproven, what was paid for, and what remains genuinely unknown. I'm not going to pretend I know the answer. I'm going to make sure you have everything you need to ask the right questions. Not, do I believe the accusers or the estate, but am I willing to sit with the possibility that the truth includes pieces I don't want to accept? Is it possible that some of these accusations are fabricated? Yes, people have lied about abuse before, and the financial incentives here are enormous. Is it possible that some of them are real? Also, yes. The volume of accusations, the consistency of the described patterns, the number of people who have reversed their public positions, that doesn't disappear just because some details have been debunked. Can a person be both the greatest entertainer who ever lived and a predator? History says yes. It's happened before. But is that his story? It will happen again. The institutions that elevate people to that level of fame, the record labels, the networks, the managers, the entourages, are not designed to catch predators. They're designed to protect revenue. And every system that should have been asking questions about Michael Jackson's relationships with children, from the parents who handed their kids over to the industry that looked away, to the legal system that settled the checks instead of convictions. Every one of those systems had a financial reason to let it slide. That doesn't prove guilt. But it does mean that innocence was never rigorously tested by the people closest to him. The question isn't whether it's possible. The question is whether it happened here. And the answer to that question might be we will never know for certain. It's not a satisfying ending. It's not supposed to be. The satisfying ending is the one where you pick a side and feel righteous about it. We're not offering that. This series is offering the truth about the evidence, all of it. The parts that point in both directions. And the respect to let you decide for yourself what you can carry. Because somewhere, a mother is driving home from a movie theater with her daughter. A Michael Jackson song comes on the radio. And she feels something she can't quite name. Something between joy and unease. Between nostalgia and nausea. She turns the volume up and then she feels strange about it. That feeling. The one that doesn't resolve, the one that stays uncomfortable, the one that sits in your chest like a question you're afraid to finish asking. That might be the closest thing to the truth this story has ever produced. We start with the case that started everything, the tape, the money, and the boy who never spoke again. That is next. Press subscribe wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss our continuing series on Michael Jackson, Music and Monsters. Look forward to getting your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Like I said, the links are in the description. We'll continue our conversation there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.